Welcome to a special edition of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living.
Abba bless his soul, made a vow to the one above. Not a loud one, shouted from the market square, but a whisper at dawn, fingers gnarled from toil pressed against Emma's heart. He committed me and my future to the Almighty, requesting that I be a vessel for good. And so, my world wasn't silks and silver, but sun-baked clay and rough linen, prayers woven into the rhythm of olive pickings and sheep bleating. Abba was a shepherd and he spent hours out in the hills. However, he was also a devout man. When he would come home, and after the evening meal, we would gather around him, and he would read the law and the prophets. He would share stories of Hebrew history and tradition. I learned my letters from Abba's calloused finger, tracing them on the dusty floor, stories of Abraham and Moses, echoing in the whisper of the wind. Official participation in synagogue services and studies was generally reserved for men. However, my parents would often take me outside the designated area where I could join in the prayers and listen to the readings or teaching sessions. I knew Joseph's family. We were both from the lineage of David, and our respective families had lived together in Nazareth for generations. As a child, I often played tag and chase, hide and seek, or board games with his nieces and nephews, who were closer in age to me. But Joseph was often working in Sepphoris on one of the many building projects there, or he was sequestered in his workshop, so we hardly ever saw each other and seldom exchanged words. But it was at Cousin Miriam's wedding that he captured my heart. I remember when I saw him, standing tall as a cedar, his carpenter's hands surprisingly gentle, adjusting the folds of his white robe. His eyes, the color of sun-drenched wheat, met mine across the throng, a flicker of surprise, then a slow, warm smile that crinkled the corners. An unfamiliar feeling bloomed in my chest, a flutter like a frightened dove, warmth, curiosity, a quiet delight. We didn't speak much at first, stolen glances over plates of olives, shy smiles across the banquet floor. In the twilight, as guests were enjoying the music, we found ourselves beside the well, the moon painting silver paths on the water. He spoke of his work, the rhythmic hum of his saw, the fragrant scent of freshly cut wood. I told him of my dreams, whispered hopes of healing herbs, and stories penned in clay. His laughter, deep and earthy, rumbled like thunder over gentle hills, and I felt a lightness take flight in my heart I hadn't known before. Days turned into weeks, shared smiles at the market, brief encounters by the spring. He brought me figs, their sweetness echoing the honey in his gaze. I left him rosemary sprigs, their sharp scent mimicking the fire in my cheeks when he was near. In the hush of our whispered conversations, I discovered a man kind and strong, his words carrying the wisdom of ancient oaks, his laughter warming the winter wind. Joseph spoke to Abba, and my father approved the betrothal. Emma told me about it one summer evening. He is a good man, she beamed approvingly, from a good family. He loves Elohim and he understands the law, and he will not only be a suitable spiritual guide, he will be a good provider. Sometime later, at the betrothal ceremony, I stood beside Joseph, hand in hand, the setting sun painting his face in shades of gold. I didn't hear the elder as he recited the ancient words. All I knew was that my journey, once a winding path through sun-drenched fields, had found its destination. In his eyes, I saw not just a future husband, but a home, a haven, a heart beating in perfect harmony with mine. And in that quiet dance of sunlight and shadows, love, like a beautiful hoopoe, settled on my soul, humming a melody of hope and forever. It was some 2 months later, when I was at home in the kitchen. I was using a stone mortar and pestle to grind the flour, spices, and dried dates for the lekash, for Sukkot. Sunlight dripped through the clay cracks, painting stripes on my flour-dusted hands. Emma hummed her morning melody, the same one that comforted me through my childhood dreams. But on that day, the air crackled with something different, a tremor that reached into my very bones. "I'm going to check on your father," Emma said, and before I could respond, she was out the door. I carefully removed the ceramic bowl of warmed oil and honey from the coals on the oven floor, when all of a sudden the kitchen was bathed in light brighter than noon. I looked up and saw a man standing there. I was so startled that I dropped the bowl, The man before me was unlike any I had ever seen. He stood tall and majestic, his presence filling the kitchen with an aura of serenity and power. His robes were of a brilliant white, so pure and vibrant that they seemed to radiate light of their own, casting a gentle glow on the walls around him. His hair was like strands of gold, cascading down his shoulders in soft waves, framing a face that was both gentle and commanding. His eyes, a piercing shade of blue, held within them the depth of the skies and the calm of still waters. They were eyes that seemed to see straight through to the soul, yet in their gaze there was a kindness that eased my trembling heart. Upon his back were wings, grand and splendid, feathers shimmering like polished silver, folded gracefully behind him. As I stood there, frozen in awe, the man's lips curved into a reassuring smile. He spoke, and his voice was like a melody, harmonious and clear, resonating with a timbre that was both otherworldly and comforting. "Fear not," he said, his words echoing softly in the room, "for I come with a message of great joy." There was a sense of nobility about him, a regal bearing that was at once imposing and inviting. Despite the fear that had initially gripped me, there was an inexplicable peace in his presence, a feeling that this celestial being, this angel, was a harbinger of good tidings. The room, still aglow with his radiance, seemed to have become a sacred space, a bridge between the mortal and the divine.
"I am Gabriel, a messenger of the Almighty."
He went on to speak of favor, of carrying within me a miracle, a son named Jesus, the Son of God. My mind reeled, my heart a tiny sparrow trapped in my chest. Me, an unwed girl, a vessel for the divine. My laughter came out a choked sob, then silence, heavy as clay upon my soul. But Gabriel's voice, gentle as the moon's reflection, soothed the storm within. He spoke of Elizabeth, my cousin, barren she was, yet blessed with a child to bear. A journey north, he urged, to share burdens and find solace in kinship. That evening, I told Abba and Imma about Gabriel's visit. I'm not sure if they believed me. Still, the next morning, Abba left the sheep in the care of Simeon, and we rode north, me on a borrowed donkey. Elizabeth's eyes, wide as the Judean sky, mirrored my own shock. Yet, when I whispered my tale, her laughter, a peal of bells, filled the air. "Blessed are you among women," she cried, and the babe within her leapt, echoing her joy. Those days in the Judean hills, secrets shared and prayers like threads woven together, knitted my faith a coat of gold. Abba left me behind and I stayed with Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah, the priest, for 9 weeks. But returning to Nazareth, the whispers followed, stings of doubt sharper than thorns. Some cast furtive glances, others spat scorn like hot embers. Joseph, bless his carpenter's soul, saw the storm in my eyes. His hand, calloused but kind, held mine in the quiet dusk. He believed my love, my betrothed, a shield against the storm. Although he needed his own visit from Gabriel to dispel his doubts. Our wedding, simple as sun-baked bread, held no trumpets or silk, but his vows whispered under the fig tree, Abba's tears reflecting the setting sun, were a fortress around my heart. And then the news, a decree from Rome, a journey south to Bethlehem, land of our fathers. Heavy the donkey, heavy my belly, the road a river of dust and sweat. Every groan, a silent prayer, every ache, a whispered promise. Bethlehem, a stone city, cradling 1,000 stories, offered us no welcome, only cold stairs and slammed doors. A humble stable, no more than a cave. The stench of straw and beasts, our only solace. Yet, there, under the dim glow of a lantern, in the hushed wonder of midnight, miracle bloomed. A cry, the sweetest song, torn from my depths. Jesus, my son, cradled in hay. In that moment, the whispers and doubts, the journey and pain, all faded like shadows in the newborn dawn. For I, Mary, daughter of Heli, wife of Joseph, held in my arms the promise of eternity, the love that painted light onto the world. And as I hummed a lullaby beneath the star-strewn sky, nestled in the warmth of his tiny hand, I knew. My journey, begun in a sun-drenched kitchen, had reached its destination, not in Bethlehem, but in the infinite love cradled within my arms. A love that whispered hope and changed the world forever.
Join us next time as we continue Christmas Perspectives.